Hey, welcome to episode 7 of the Tuesday Night Comics podcast. We are covering comics released this coming Wednesday, which is Wednesday, February 19th. I'm Billy, and with me as always is Dave.
Hey, guys!
And it looks like another slow week this week. Weeks like this get me scared because I end up buying like one or two comics, and then last week I bought one or two comics, and that means next week I'm probably going to be spending like $50.
Yeah, last week I don't know if I really bought anything. I just reread, or not reread, but I read Greg Rucka's Punisher run from Marvel, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about Rucka's Punisher run.
Yeah, it was. If they made a Punisher movie within the realm of like the Marvel Studios films, I think it would be a great template for it because Greg Rucka, unlike Garth Ennis, does not use any interior monologues, which works in comics, but really I think doesn't work too well on the screen. I mean, every once in a while someone pulls it off, but I think it's really tough.
Yeah, Rucka and Bendis seem to be have been the main proponents of getting rid of thought bubbles and inner monologues, going back to when they both broke onto the Marvel scene from their independent work, you know, in the early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah. But
it's funny how you just don't see you get a lot of inner monologue in captions these days, but the thought bubble seems to have gone the way of the past.
Yeah, I mean, I think every once in a while you'll see someone use it in a clever way, but and it's almost a shame because it's one thing that sticks out in the medium of comics as being singular to that, where you can know what everybody's thinking. And I mean, yeah, it's pretty much been replaced by the caption bubble, and I think sometimes it's used very uniquely and distinctly, and sometimes it fails. I wasn't too big of a fan of how Brad Meltzer and James Robinson used it in their Justice League runs.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of Brad Meltzer's Justice League run, but and James Robinson's, I didn't read much of it. But yeah,
I like James Robinson's a little better, but the thought bubbles were like, or the thought captions were, somebody would finish somebody else's sentence, and it would seem almost cheesy, poetic.
Okay, yeah, I could see how that would be. That would be annoying.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you read last week, Billy?
I read She-Hulk, and I meant to tell you yesterday. Download She-Hulk and read She-Hulk. It is an amazing comic book.
Yeah?
Yeah. That was easily my pick of the week of last week. Although there was a very strong showing from The Walking Dead, last week's Walking Dead was phenomenal. But the new She-Hulk series from Charles Soule or Soule, we still haven't figured out how to say his last name.
We'll have to look that up somewhere.
Yeah, it is as good as Dan Slott's She-Hulk, which was great. First issue, that was great. First issue, this is great. It's very in line with tone-wise with Wade's Daredevil and Fraction's Hawkeye. So if you're a fan of either of those series, I definitely recommend buying it.
Wow, yeah, I just started reading Fraction's Hawkeye. I had read the first two or three issues when you lent them to me a while back.
Right.
But I just read the first story arc, and man, is it good.
I love it. It's my favorite comic book on the stands right now.
I understand what everyone's raving about.
And She-Hulk is probably more like a little more in line with Wade's Daredevil in that they both deal with lawyers. And but this seems to be that, you know, this is what She-Hulk does on her days off when she's not being an Avenger or a member of the Fantastic Four.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I highly, and the other comic I recommend everybody pick up from 2 weeks ago is Ms. Marvel number one. These are my two new favorite Marvel number ones, Ms. Marvel and She-Hulk. Both
wow.
are great, and both have unique voices.
So,
were you about to say this week is looking a little light?
Yes, yes.
I agree. I'm looking at GC stuff right now, and I'm not really seeing anything that jumps out at me other than Justice League number 28, which is a Forever Evil tie-in.
With the Metal Men?
Yeah, that's the cool thing. This is the Metal Men's introduction to the DC Universe. You got a great team. It's Geoff Johns, Ivan Reiss, Joe Prado.
And they also have a slimmed down Cyborg redesigned by Ivan Reiss and Joe Prado in there too, which I think debuted the previous issue.
Yes, that's correct. That debuted the previous issue. That was a cool issue. I'll tell you what, this Justice League series right now is better than Forever Evil. If you're going to read one or the other, I recommend reading Justice League. It's amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens with post Forever Evil, where they have Captain Cold and Lex Luthor in the Justice League, with Lex Luthor leading the Justice League. I just saw a promo image for a girl Green Lantern.
Right.
Maybe joining or being part of the storyline.
Oh, that should be cool.
Yeah. So, and the Metal Men is actually, I would have to say here, one of the coolest redesigns in the New 52. I found some of the redesigns when the New 52 started a little bit just, you know, redesigned for redesign's sake, but yeah. These Metal Men look pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree with you. I especially like Mercury. Mercury looks really, really cool. You know, Platinum looks awesome. The Lead looks a little too 90s image character for my taste, but that's just me. I like that.
Yeah, I kind of like classic Lead, who is just like a...
basically a big block of lead. Here he almost looks like that purple guy from Wildcats whose name I forget. Husk. Yeah, he looks like Husk. I will call him Gray Husk or Elephant. Elephant Tusk.
He does a little bit.
I will call him Tusk instead of.
Yeah,
Husk.
Wonder Woman this week also looks good.
Yeah, this has been Wonder Woman has been consistently like one of the best titles in DC right since the New 52 started.
Yeah, definitely. Azzarello's been awesome. Cliff Chang, also awesome.
Yeah,
she's now the God of War. What's that?
Yeah, Brooklyn's own Cliff Chang.
Ah.
Yeah, he lives not too far away from me.
Not really.
Yeah.
We should have him on the podcast.
Yeah, definitely have to try. I'll have to see if I could get that Brooklyn angle going. I don't know if he'd do it. You know, he's a busy guy, but that'd be awesome if we could.
Yeah, that would be great.
But you're saying Wonder Woman's now the God of War?
Yeah, she killed the God of War and now is the God of War. Reluctantly, though. So it's provided some interesting story plot twists and all that.
Let's look at Marvel. We've got what I believe is the final issue of A Plus X. This was a short-lived series that followed the Avengers versus X-Men and is now...
AVX?
Yes. And that's now coming to an end.
Yeah, and I think I was reading on Bleeding Cool that... it was supposed to be Brian Michael Bendis and Kevin Nolan doing this, but it's no longer.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah.
That is weird.
But,
yeah.
Spider-Man and Psylocke, I'm in. Psylocke was probably one of my favorite characters on the X-Men that, what's his name, wrote. Who wrote the Loki story?
Jason Aaron? Kieran Gillen.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure which Loki story or which X-Men story you meant.
Yes, there are a lot of them lately. Both.
Yeah, let's see. What else do we have from Marvel?
Also, the final issue of Daredevil.
Yeah. And that's relaunching in April, but in the meantime, there's going to be a digital-only comic that bridges this series to that series, because Daredevil is moving cross-country to California.
And that's pretty cool, because Mark Waid is right on the digital forefront with his website and I think his takes on it. He's done a couple of infinite comics, is what Marvel calls them. So I'm definitely in for the digital series.
Yeah. His Thrill Bent line, which is like web first, and then they switch to print every now and again, or maybe they put everything to print. I'm not really sure. But yeah, he's been at the forefront of digital comics. It's gotten him in trouble in the past sometimes with retailers. But you know, this is probably like the digital comics are the future. You know, whether people like that or don't, it seems to be the direction we're moving in.
And his Thrill Bent line is just very interesting, because most of what he's doing, it just really seems like he's experimenting, seeing what works, what doesn't work, and it's really a great thing to read. And I suggest everybody pop on over and take a look at what they're doing over there.
Now let's see. Oh, we've got a new Warriors series. This is the fifth volume of New Warriors. It's written by Christopher Yost with art by Marcus Toe, or Two. And I'm not gonna lie, I have no interest in this.
I have no interest either.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Scarlet Spider, it seems like this is where you can read him. And if you've been hankering for a Nova or a Speedball story, here you go. But I really, it's just, and I was a big New Warriors fan when Fabian was writing the book, and Mark Bagley was on the art. But I don't know. It's just one of those concepts that they'd really have to prove themselves to me for me to believe it.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, now let's see. That kind of brings us through all of Marvel, I think.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, Toy Fair just happened this past weekend, and I saw a lot of cool toys.
DC just announced their Batman the Animated Series toy line, and it's a new toy line, so it's not going to be any of the old sculpts, and it looks awesome.
Yeah, the Batman sculpt looked really sick. For the first time ever, they've got a animated Batman with articulated elbows. Usually those animated line of figures had very poor articulation. Here you've got arm articulation, and they draped the cape over his shoulders that looked excellent. Just really, really cool looking.
Yeah, it's amazing how much better capes started looking when they changed them to plastic instead of the cloth. And the way it is draped over his shoulders is pretty great.
Yeah, I like the posability, and the flowiness of cloth capes on action figures, but the plastic ones definitely look a lot better, especially when they're sculpted in like a particular pose.
Yeah.
And also, they're coming out with a Batman Beyond figure that has no less than four heads. It's got Batman Beyond in costume, like an angry Batman Beyond in costume, then a Terry McGinnis unmasked head, and an old Bruce Wayne head. Hankers back to that final Night of the Batman episode that they did that showed Bruce retiring.
Oh, that's sweet.
And let's see, I'm trying to think what else I saw this weekend there that looked really cool. If you're a Transformers fan, there's a lot of cool Transformers coming out, and DC I think it killed it this weekend at Toy Fair. All the cool toys seem to be coming from them. Oh,
yeah.
Here's a big one. Superpowers is doing a 30th anniversary toy line this year.
What? And,
yeah. So they're going to use the old style packaging, but with new sculpts. And they're having a lot of fun with it, because when Superpowers came out, they released a Riddler figure towards the end of the run, but they only released it in South America under the line Super Amigos. And it was basically just a repainted Green Lantern figure done up to look like the Riddler. So what Mattel and DC are releasing is this new sculpt of Green Lantern repainted to look like the Riddler, and it really just looks like Green Lantern as the Riddler. And it's just playing off the whole Riddler being a Green Lantern repaint in the non-US release Super Amigos. And even at Toy Fair, the card under it said Green Lantern as the Riddler and not the Riddler, which I thought was wonderful.
That is pretty great. I see they have a Mr. Mixtaplex in there.
Yeah. And there's a cool looking Bizarro also. I don't know if that's part of. I know, yeah, Mixtaplex is part of the Superpowers line, but I'm not sure what Bizarro is part of. But he looks really cool.
Yeah, Mixtaplex and Bizarro both were not part of the Superpowers line, so it's that's interesting that they're adding them.
And one other cool DC figure I saw was Firestorm, with the classic like Ronnie Raymond head, and then also the newer Firestorm's head too. Jason something, I think.
Jason Rush.
Yes. So you get both heads on one figure, and you can change them out as you wish.
Ah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Especially since I think now they like change control. Like sometimes Jason has control, sometimes Ronnie has control.
Right.
And the Greg Capullo Mr. Freeze toy. Have you seen that?
I did.
That is awesome looking.
Yeah, as does the armored Batman figure that Greg Capullo designed. Which the mask comes off, so the helmet comes off, and you see Bruce Wayne underneath, and it looks like that really cool steampunk Batman armor that Capullo designed for the new 52 Batman series.
Yeah, I guess he did design them. They remind me of the bat bots that you saw in Batman Incorporated that were a nod to the Kingdom Come bat suits that Batman had.
Yeah,
definitely. But definitely an awesome design.
That whole Greg Capullo line looks really cool. They've even got a Red Hood figure that has like the pre-Joker Joker chin like sticking out underneath the Red Hood mask.
Yeah, that's such. He really knows how to play with like the iconography, I think.
Yeah. You know, like he's improving on classic designs without just throwing it out with the bathwater, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So Toy Fair this weekend was awesome. We're getting a lot of cool toys. The downside of that is that all the comic fans out there are going to be broke buying these.
Yeah.
There's just too much cool stuff coming out in 2014, it looks like.
Jumping back to comics,
yeah.
I see that Greg Rucka will be writing a Young Cyclops in Space series.
Really?
Which is so interesting because, you know, when they started this all-new X-Men line, I was thinking, how long are they going to keep these guys around? And I was like, it's only obviously going to be like a storyline or two, but they've been here for a good year, and they're not going anywhere, it seems like.
Yeah, not only are they here, but they have their own new costumes, too. Like, they've gotten rid of the black and yellow costumes and all have individualized costumes.
Yeah,
they're different than their previous ones.
I wonder how this plays out in the end. I really want to see what the end game is with this.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of like memory wipe or, you know, like alternate timeline or something, because I don't understand how these characters can go back and not change every X-Men story that follows.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm along for the ride, though. And as I was saying before, I was rereading that Punisher series, and man, I love Greg Rucka's stuff almost anywhere. So I will definitely be jumping on to the Cyclops series.
Yeah. So this will be Cyclops from all new X-Men, not the current like militant Cyclops.
Yeah, not anti-hero.
Right.
Cyclops.
Right. Oh, Cyclops. He used to be my favorite X-Men. I don't know what happened to you.
He was always my favorite X-Men, too.
Yeah.
But, I always liked the leader characters when I was younger. I was always a fan of Leonardo.
Oh, really?
In the Turtles.
I was more a Michelangelo Raphael guy myself. I liked the characters. Cyclops was really like the exception to the rule. All my favorite characters were the guys who cracked jokes like Iceman and Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, Cyclops I always thought had like a cool costume whenever he had a costume. It might have just been the visor, but
yeah, that's a good point. I largely agree with that. X-Factor was one of my favorite comics growing up in the 1980s, especially when Walt Simonson was doing the art.
Oh yeah.
So I guess that brings us to the end of the podcast. You So if you're listening, you've got a bunch of picks for this week, even though it's a slow week. But really, more than any other pick that, like, anything that I said that is coming out this week that I think you should buy, instead you should go out and buy She-Hulk number one. If your store still has it, get it. It is awesome.
I will be reading it, and I will let you know next week what I think about it.
All right, all right. I'm looking forward to that, because I got to say, I loved it. Like, I want the second issue right now.
Oh, wow, awesome.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with another new episode of Tuesday Night Comics.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.